107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Biden drops out. I'm Richard Cantu. While President Biden, shortly after ending his re-election bid, endorsed Vice President Harris, the Democrats say there'll be an open, fair, and orderly framework for selecting a new nominee. The vice president's still waiting to hear from some big Democratic names.
The delegates have to vote for her. As we pointed out, she doesn't have a single pledged delegate. So I think that Pelosi and Obama are really playing the role as party leaders and ultimately will be entirely and very enthusiastically on board with Kamala Harris.
ABC's Jonathan Carl. It means the Republicans are going to have to change targets.
The Trump team is going to have to very quickly take the money and pivot to attack Kamala Harris. I can tell you from my sources, MAGA Inc., that is a super PAC aligned with Donald Trump, they've already taken a $5 million ad buy for next week.
ABC's John Santucci. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Vice President Kamala Harris will be visiting Milwaukee next Tuesday for a campaign event. Harris has already visited Wisconsin four times this year. The vice president's arrival in Milwaukee will come just days after the city hosted the Republican National Convention. Harris last visited Milwaukee in May, where she discussed her administration's economic policies. Two Ohio police officers who shot and killed a man outside the Republican National Convention have been investigated in the past for uses of force. Nicholas Mason was cleared of charges in 2017 after killing a man during a traffic stop. Adam Groves was sued in 2016 for wrongful arrest and excessive use of force. Mason and Groves were part of a visiting police bicycle unit from Columbus. Activists and mourners of Samuel Sharp Jr., the man shot and killed, are criticizing Milwaukee officials for hosting the RNC and bringing in out-of-state police. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers training camp starts today. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers in helmets and shorts for the first few days, open to the public. Still no deal completed yet for Jordan Love. The team signed Kenny Clark, their 28-year-old defensive lineman, to a three-year deal worth $64 million. Will earn $29 million this season. Three players on the non-football injury list, defensive back Corey Ballantyne, offensive tackle Caleb Jones, and receiver Jaden Reed, who held two youth football camps in Wisconsin the past week. Baseball, the Brewers win 8-7 over the Twins thanks to four home runs, two from backup catcher Eric Haas. The team also making a minor league trade with the New York Mets. The Brewers picking up another left-handed pitcher, Tyler Jay, from the Mets. In exchange, the Brewers send to the Mets right-hander T.J. Shook. Basketball, the Bucks getting beat again, this time 91-79 against the Wizards over the weekend. The Bucks going winless 0-5 in the NBA Summer League games in Las Vegas. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Matt Nair on air.
John Ellingson is our guest. He's one of the co-directors of the Eau Claire Coupe League.
It's a Swedish yard game. You would toss a baton trying to knock down your opponent's coupe.
You have teams from all over the country. What are some of the other names that stuck out to you?
Coupe Han Luke.
Nice. Yeah.
The Salty Baton.
Oh. Do you call the last 16 teams the Swedish 16?
Oh, I'm writing that down. That's too good.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison and welcome hilarious comedian Pat McGann and singer-songwriter Marta Hansen joins the show and performs live in studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to around 81 for a high this afternoon with a light breeze out of the north switching to the west here by later this afternoon. Partly cloudy and calm tonight, 64 tomorrow. Partly cloudy with scattered thunderstorms and a high tomorrow right around 83. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 64.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework, but I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll catch you up on news of the weekend and also the current status of the Democratic nominee, Joe Biden. Not going to want to miss it. Be there.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
We got a lot of rain across the state of Wisconsin in the overnight hours, but you let me know. Talk text line is open and waiting for you. Welcome in, everyone. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report, and that talk text line is 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. You say you didn't pick up any rain? Well, that's okay. Go ahead and let me know how the county fair wrapped up for you. Or maybe the winter wheat harvest is something you want to tell me about. Whatever it is, that's the way to reach out to us. 877-301-FARM. Weather-wise, it looks like we've got an on-again, off-again chance of rain starting as soon as this afternoon. Kind of depends where you are. La Crosse, you look like you're going to get a little fog this morning, but then sunshine. Highs around 82 degrees. Madison area, also looking for sunshine, probably around 80 degrees today. And along the lakeshore, beautiful. You should see sunshine with temperatures around 80 degrees. Now, after that, in the overnight hours, things start to change. We've got a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms sometime during the morning hours tomorrow. We're going to talk about weather with Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist. We also got the latest update from Wisconsin's Ag Export Council. That's been 2 years in the works, thanks in part to funding from the state of Wisconsin. Senator Joan Baldwin, chair of the Senate Agriculture Committee, going to give us a quick update on that and a couple other items that you need to keep an eye on. That's just one of the items on the way.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Rural Mutual Insurance is a proud sponsor of the Wisconsin State Fair. As a thank you for your support, they're giving away State Fair tickets. Visit ruralmutual.com/win and enter to win State Fair tickets.
Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
It isn't a Wisconsin summer without the Wisconsin State Fair. Again this year, the Midwest Farm Report brings you stories from the show ring to the midway and from the food to the auctions. For full Wisconsin State Fair coverage, visit MidwestFarmReport.com or follow along on our podcast. This year's Wisconsin State Fair coverage is sponsored by Gums Farms of Endeavor. Locally owned, Gums Farms brings produce from their family farm to your family's table. Check them out at GumsFarmsWI.com.
Wisconsin soybean growers have lots of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Farming is always a challenge, and it seems especially this year to get crops in and get them growing. I'm Bob Osel at the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire. But recently, in western Iowa, we had a chance to visit with farmers from northwestern Iowa and Minnesota about the condition of the crops from getting it planted to getting it growing here as we get towards the end of July. Scott Neighborhaus is first. He's been farming all his life out in northwest Iowa. And Scott, as far as the crops, getting them in and getting growing, are they looking a little better now that we're getting some sunshine and heat and a little drier weather?
90% excellent, 2% drowned out, and 3 to 7% of it is short. I'd say it's basically the wet holes. A lot of it we were able to replant, but it's all set back 20 to 30 days behind the rest of the corn. For feed cattle where we're at, a lot of that will just end up in the, if it don't amount to much, you'll still make corn stalk bales.
Did you have any trouble in the spring getting the crop in?
We started planting the 9th of April. We started planting. We planted 400 acres, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th. We quit on a Sunday. Didn't plant on Monday, and Tuesday it got down to 35, 36 degrees. The soil temperature dropped. It was two more weeks before we could finally get in. It was tough going, but we finally got the corn all in. We made another round. We got another 700 acres of corn put in, and then we waited another 10 days, and we got the last of our 400 or 500 acres of corn put back in.
Now, as we look at the crop around here, as you said, 90% excellent, but when did you get to that 90%? Because I'm sure early on, like you said, it's hard to grow corn in a swimming pool. You were a little bit nervous.
We didn't have a lot of the swimming pool action. We had more just natural low spots. We didn't get the, you know, everybody's heard about the big flood in Spencer. Most of that flooding never fazed us, unless you were on the river bottom. The biggest part we had was your low bottom areas. There were, most of it's all tiled. A lot of the corn only sat in water for a day or two. I run a feedlot just 2 miles south of Alda, Iowa. And from April 10th, when I started keeping track, till the present moment, as of mid-July here, I've had 22 inches of rain. Sometimes it was only an inch, sometimes it was two, sometimes it was three, sometimes it was 3/10. So there's days we had 3/10 one morning, 4/10 the next morning, 2/10 the next morning. It was just it's such a variance. But all in all, the crops are just starting to tassel on our early stuff. Some of it's pretty erratic yet that's coming up for tassels. Some of it is just, you can see the color difference on the top. Soybeans here in the last 5 to 10 days have probably grown a foot. We were spraying last week, and we were wondering if the beans were ever going to mount to anything, and they just totally blossomed, and now 30-inch rows now are just about completely shaded right now.
Did you have any trouble getting into spray or using drones out here? What do you do with that wet soil? Because this is heavy ground.
We were able to run a self-propelled sprayer over the top of all of it. We never had to drone anything. We never had to airplane anything. Most of the guys that I know of in this area have not sprayed with just ground rigs is all they've been spraying with around here.
You mentioned you're in the cattle business. You got the feedlot that you're working with. What's the attitude of the cattlemen out here with the prices the way they are? Because right about now, you'd rather have cattle and corn with comparing the prices and beans, too.
One thing about it, we got cattle shipping on Sunday afternoon. We got $2 a hundred for these cattle we're shipping. Plus, we got 95-cent rate of gain right now on if you would change your numbers every day for dry corn. We use a lot of high moisture corn, so our numbers are already fixed in the fall.
But things are looking good as we sit here at the end of July.
Oh, it's awesome! I mean, if it would quit raining right now, we'd have a heck of a crop. I mean, no matter what, the ground is saturated, clear down into the subsoil. The roots hit the nitrogen band. Oh, I suppose that's been a month and a half, 2 months ago when it was starting to grow. It hit the nitrogen band, so the roots went down. And boy, it hit the fertilizer and nitrogen band. We're looking good.
Western Iowa, looking good. Let's go to Minnesota. Mark Erickson is with us. And, Mark, your family has farmed, for a long, long time in Minnesota. Place your farm on the map in Minnesota, where you are at.
Basically, it's in between Jackson County and Martin County, kind of on the line there. Mm-hmm. So Jackson, Minnesota, Fairmont, in between there, kind of in the middle, just off of I-90.
Same story as Scott as far as this, or this year you got a lot of practice planting corn.
Certainly did. I'd say it's a whole different world. You know, we're 100 miles away from where Scott is, and it's a lot worse up there. It has a resemblance of 1993 when there was a more widespread flood up there, and in that year we had a very difficult time getting it planted on a timely basis, and it was challenging the whole season, and we had a short fall, and on the corn side there were a very large percentage of producers that just ended up cutting their corn down.
So how many times did you plant corn this year?
Our initial planting, we really got in fairly timely for the weather. You know, we had great moisture profile up there going into the spring, and then we got periodic rains, nothing overly big, but it just started adding up, and we got our crop in, but some of it wasn't put in the best condition, and then it continued to rain after that, And as far as, you know, getting into replant, we found a little time to do that. We finished our replant on the corn and beans that we did. And
when did you get the replanting done?
So the replanting, it would have been early June, mid-June, when we did that. So it's not, yeah, it's not overly late, and it still has a chance, but you know, a lot of it sat in the ground so far, whether it was our initial planting, and that sat in the ground a long time, and it was damp. And it got cooler there, too, at the same time. So not off to the best start up there. And if you look at the crop right now, you're going to look at my field, and you're going to see some corn at 6 inches tall and some that's 6 foot tall. All sorts of shades of green and yellow and whatever. But not a pretty looking crop up there. And, yeah, certainly have some concerns about what's going to go through from here. The other challenge we have right now, as Scott alluded to, too, when they talked about getting their spraying done and so forth, as far as our herbicide application, we got some pre done. We didn't get all of our pre-emergent herbicide on. And then we didn't get anything on the beans. And still haven't because it's been so damp. But this week, we've got a nice dry week, and still there's weed pressure coming and so forth. But you know, it'll get taken care of, and we should get a good kill on that this week, so forth. So, and then the corn's just going to be very interesting to spray, and we're going to go in there with ground sprayers at this point in time, and we're probably going to knock down some corn when we do that to get the herbicide on. But
I was going to say, you won't rate your corn 90% excellent like Scott did here in western Iowa.
From what I see in my backyard up there, I would say not, and quite a bit less. And it's really hard to guess what that corn's going to do. Some of it, you know, all of a sudden the green turns good, you know, and, you know, hits that nitrogen level. Some in the same field not too far away, you know, still short and hasn't hit it yet. And it's just going to be a variety of things. So, you know, the harvest situation, very uncertain what's going to happen there. Another worry is that, you know, the moisture level of the corn and how much drying is going to have to be done in the quality of the corn. And along with the beans. Right now, I'd say proportionally, the beans have kind of caught up with everything, and they look a little bit better. Not as far as long as we'd like to have them, but they look okay. The stands are good, so we're looking okay there. Hopefully, we can get a good finish to the growing season.
Fun to be a farmer, isn't it?
It's wonderful, isn't it?
So the farms can be relatively close in the Midwest, but the challenges can be very, very different. Scott Neighborhaus from Northwest Iowa. Mark Erickson from South Central Minnesota, growing crops but having very different years. From the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, I'm Bob Bosold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
News from the center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Richland County's choice for news, talk, and sports.
At Uline, they know going the extra mile takes hard work. For companies pushing to go further, Uline will go the distance with you. 24/7, they answer the phone to get you the shipping and industrial supplies you need. Business can move fast. Unexpected large orders, adverse weather, new safety guidelines, and changing economic trends. Uline works hard keeping 41,000 items ready to ship, minimizing detours on your way to the extra mile. Visit uline.com.
Few Wisconsin events bring 600,000 people together from 80 different countries, but it happens every summer in Oshkosh.
Oshkosh has become synonymous with the world of flight and with EAA.
Dick Napinski's worked with EAA Air Venture for more than 30 years and knows its history. Do you? Where did EAA start? Wausau, La Crosse, or Milwaukee? The answer coming up. The fly-in is spread across 1,600 acres with more than 10,000 airplanes. It brings a big boost to the economy, too.
It's $170 million of economic impact and more than $110 million of direct spending.
So where did EAA start? Milwaukee in 1953 called the Wisconsin Air Pageant with 21 planes. All moved to Oshkosh in 1970, a high-flying slice of Wisconsin. It's happening July 22nd to the 28th. I'm Terry Barr.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Crude and Dom.
Join the Devil's Advocates on Monday. We've got Congressman Mark Pocan. He'll tell us why he's advocating for Joe Biden to step down as the presidential candidate for the Dems.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6. News from the Center, WRCE.
But you say that's not unusual. Whatever rain did show up wasn't necessarily all that measurable, huh?
No, here and there. I mean, I was out at the tractor pull at the Mayville Gun Club yesterday afternoon. We were worried and watching radar and phones, you know. There were some sprinkles here and there we found out, but nothing where we were. The rain really kind of held in western Wisconsin yesterday morning. Eau Claire, 43 hundredths of an inch, a report I have. Not much more to talk about around the state, you know, a few hundredths here or there. It has gotten a lot quieter since yesterday. In fact, that cool front that dropped south out of Canada's kind of weakened and fallen apart, lining up from the eastern Great Lakes down toward northern Indiana. But it's going to stay pushing further south and away. And we should have another fine, dry day. Fog, more of an issue where the rain was yesterday morning in that northwestern, call it almost quarter of Wisconsin, a dense fog advisory right from La Crosse north, right up through Eau Claire and almost to east, almost to Wausau. So that foggy start in the morning in the northwest, be alert for that. But during the day, sunshine will return, another fine day in store. But there's another cool front north in Canada, and we look to far northern Minnesota, call it northwest Minnesota, southern Canada, where there is some rain today. Well, that's not going to hold together and sweep right south into Wisconsin, but that cool front does drop in, and even in the far northwest, there could be a bit of a rain chance toward evening or in the night, a little more likelihood with that front passing through the state of rain on Tuesday, and that activity will taper off. Temperatures warming up as that front drops in from the north, so back to normal or a little above for today and tomorrow, and then cooling off again and drying out for later on in the week. Sounds like better news. I'll have the forecast details right after this.
It isn't a Wisconsin summer without the Wisconsin State Fair. Again this year, the Midwest Farm Report brings you stories from the show ring to the midway and from the food to the auctions. For full Wisconsin State Fair coverage, visit MidwestFarmReport.com or follow along on our podcast. This year's Wisconsin State Fair coverage is sponsored by Gums Farms of Endeavor. Locally owned, Gums Farms brings produce from their family farm to your family's table. Check them out at GumsFarmsWI.com.
At Compeer Financial, being here for you means something. With your loan, you access far more than financing. Enjoy member benefits like discounts on personal and business expenses, financial education, and special events, plus patronage, essentially reducing the costs of the funds you borrowed. Compeer Financial, here for you. Find out more today. Call 844-426-6733 or visit compeer.com/member-benefits. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
Hey, Wisconsin, this year's statewide science festival is featuring agriculture, and we need your help. The Science Festival is a free event that reaches all corners of the state and showcases technology, engineering, and more to 40,000 people of all ages. The festival is looking for individuals and organizations to host or volunteer at these events. This year's festival will be held in more than 50 counties from October 14th through the 20th. Visit WisconsinScienceFest.org to sign up to help today.
All righty, Stu, let's have that forecast.
All right, a little patchy fog and the dense fog advisory in the northwest this morning, and otherwise the sunshine returns, and most of us will be right around 80, some low 80s around as winds gradually become west. Overnight, more clear skies, although there could be a shower chance in the northwest late. We'll hold in the mid-60s with a south breeze. Tomorrow, more likely scattered showers, maybe a thunderstorm or two. Rain amounts upwards of a half, maybe near 3/4 of an inch in some areas. In the low 80s tomorrow, and then a slight rain chance lingering for Wednesday. Some sun returning then, about mid-70s, Pam, and I expect much more as we head on toward Thursday and Friday. Drier, cooler, sounding way better for the end of the week.
All right, good enough, buddy. Thanks. Stumach Ag Meteorologist with your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Remember, the Talk Text line open to you now, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Compeer Financial is your financial partner, committed to agriculture in rural America. Visit Compeer.com. On the way, if you enjoy an apple, not just a day, but maybe this fall, tell you what, the apple crop looking pretty good. Charity Seebecker's got the latest on the way.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From Hillsboro to Highland, your choice for news, talk, and sports is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Attention Badger fans, the countdown to kickoff is on. Get ready for Wisconsin football this fall as single game tickets are now available with select games starting at just $35. Don't miss out on big Badger matchups including Oregon and Penn State, all on the home turf. Secure your seats today and experience the excitement and energy of Badger football at Camp Randall Stadium this season. For more information on single game tickets, call 1-800-GO-BADGERS or visit uwbadgers.com. That's uwbadgers.com.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We're born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We're born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society for all.
This is a special report from ABC News. Biden drops out. I'm Richard Cantu. While President Biden, shortly after ending his re-election bid, endorsed Vice President Harris, the Democrats say there'll be an open, fair, and orderly framework for selecting a new nominee. The vice president's still waiting to hear from some big Democratic names.
The delegates have to vote for her. As we pointed out, she doesn't have a single pledged delegate. So I think that Pelosi and Obama are really playing the role as party leaders and ultimately will be entirely and very enthusiastically on board with Kamala Harris.
ABC's Jonathan Carl. It means the Republicans are going to have to change targets.
The Trump team is going to have to very quickly take the money and pivot to attack Kamala Harris. I can tell you from my sources, MAGA Inc., that is a super PAC aligned with Donald Trump, they've already taken a $5 million ad buy for next week.
ABC's John Santucci. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Vice President Kamala Harris will be visiting Milwaukee next Tuesday for a campaign event. Harris has already visited Wisconsin four times this year. The vice president's arrival in Milwaukee will come just days after the city hosted the Republican National Convention. Harris last visited Milwaukee in May, where she discussed her administration's economic policies. Two Ohio police officers who shot and killed a man outside the Republican National Convention have been investigated in the past for uses of force. Nicholas Mason was cleared of charges in 2017 after killing a man during a traffic stop. Adam Groves was sued in 2016 for wrongful arrest and excessive use of force. Mason and Groves were part of a visiting police bicycle unit from Columbus. Activists and mourners of Samuel Sharp Jr., the man shot and killed, are criticizing Milwaukee officials for hosting the RNC and bringing in out-of-state police. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers training camp starts today. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers in helmets and shorts for the first few days, open to the public. Still no deal completed yet for Jordan Love. The team signed Kenny Clark, their 28-year-old defensive lineman, to a three-year deal worth $64 million. Will earn $29 million this season. Three players on the non-football injury list, defensive back Corey Ballantyne, offensive tackle Caleb Jones, and receiver Jaden Reed, who held two youth football camps in Wisconsin the past week. Baseball. The Brewers win 8-7 over the Twins thanks to four home runs, two from backup catcher Eric Haas. The team also making a minor league trade with the New York Mets. The Brewers picking up another left-handed pitcher, Tyler Jay, from the Mets. In exchange, the Brewers send to the Mets right-hander T.J. Shook. Basketball, the Bucks getting beat again, this time 91-79 against the Wizards over the weekend. The Bucks going winless 0-5 in the NBA Summer League games in Las Vegas. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Earl Ingram.
On the next show, I'll talk to the patriotic millionaires about the need for tax reform in the United States and react to the news from the weekend. It's Motown Monday.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to around 81 for a high this afternoon with a light breeze out of the north switching to the west here by later this afternoon. Partly cloudy and calm tonight, 64 tomorrow. Partly cloudy with scattered thunderstorms and a high tomorrow right around 83. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 64.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Utah voters passed the Better Boundaries Proposition 4 in 2018, setting standards for competitive, nonpartisan redistricting. Utah's legislature, in an effort to retain partisan power, gutted that amendment. The state Supreme Court just ruled for the voters. Proposition 4 enacted the Utah Independent Redistricting Commission and Standards Act. It explicitly prohibited dividing districts to favor or disfavor any incumbent, candidate, or political party. It also minimized the splitting of municipalities into different districts, required that districts be geographically compact and contiguous, and followed communities of interest standards. In response, the GOP-dominated legislature severely amended the statute with Senate Bill 200, removing the ban on partisan gerrymandering and clawing back its redistricting power. In maps drawn for the 2020 redistricting cycle, liberal strongholds were diluted in Salt Lake County and other areas to preserve that dominance. In 2022, the League of Women Voters Utah challenged the maps and questioned the legislature's authority to override the people's vote. On July 11th, the court ruled that the legislature could not override the intent of the voters, only change it to codify or enhance the amendment. Justices returned the case to a lower court, but said they may address the partisan gerrymandering should it not be resolved by the lower court and legislature. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Credit scores affect a lot. Mortgages, renting a place, car insurance rates. Some employers even check credit scores before hiring people. So last month, Consumer Reports and Work Money got thousands of people to check their credit reports for errors and tell us what they found. The results were shocking. Almost half of the participants found a mistake on their credit report. That's a lot of mistakes. About a quarter found serious errors that could damage their credit score, and about a third found errors about their personal information, like name or address. So, go to annualcreditreport.com, get copies of your credit reports, they're free, and take a look at yours. If anything is off, let the credit agency know right away. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society for all.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Well, just in terms of the position.
Pretty mild Monday on the way. Looks like we're going to see some sunshine. Daytime highs probably around 80 degrees. Now, we do start to see weather changed as soon as tonight. Rain back in the forecast, and Tuesday also bringing us some rain. But temperatures still moderate as far as July in Wisconsin. You know, on this day back in 2003, Phoenix, Arizona had the hottest night in history. Overnight lows in Phoenix dropped only to 96 degrees. That was back on this day, 2003. Happy birthday today to actor Danny Glover, 78 years young. Actor, comedian John Leguizamo, he is 60. And Selena Gomez, celebrating her 32nd birthday. And now you know. Well, we keep an eye on what's happening with Wisconsin weather because it has a tremendous impact on Wisconsin agriculture and some of the very things you enjoy doing when it comes to outdoor activities. This fall, you're looking forward to a good apple crop, I'm sure. So are the farmers growing it. Charity Seebecker's been checking it out.
Apple production is looking to be ahead of normal bloom time and production level. This is according to Jacob Franzen, farm manager at Sky High Fruit Farm in Baraboo. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report. And he says that despite the excess rain that the state has been getting, they've been lucky to avoid severe flooding. He explains more about how the crop is looking, but first tells us more about how Sky High got started in the first place.
So Sky High Fruit Farm was started in 1907 by a gentleman named A.K. Bassett. The farm is still owned by the Bassett family. It's third generation, so his granddaughter Betty is the current owner. She'll be 83 in September. Farm size, we have about 430 acres total. About 40 of those or so is in apple production. We've got 100 acres in just egg fields that are rented to a beef farmer now. He used to do dairy. And then the rest is just wooded. We grow 30 different types of apples. We'll start harvesting our earliest apples at the end of August, and then we have varieties that we'll carry into the beginning of November.
When we talk about apple production, obviously weather is a big part of that conversation. How has the weather been shaking out for you? We've had a lot of recent rain and flooding in some areas, but how has it been impacting you guys?
The recent rains haven't been too bad for us. Looking back at last year with the drought, we lost a lot of volume just based on size. You know, the fruit weren't sizing because the moisture wasn't there. So this year, weather has been rainy, but we haven't had any trees flood out. You know, I'm not really worried about wet roots or anything like that. We have a really nice crop in terms of number of fruit per tree. And with the moisture in the ground, it looks like they're going to size appropriately. So we've been lucky enough. You know, I know some of, like, even some of our fields have flooded out. In terms of the trees, they've been good. We have an increase in fungal pressure has been the big one. You know, we go from last year where we were putting on quarter rates of fungicides and not having to spray for weeks at a time versus this year where we're doing full rates, but then the amount of rain that will come down in a single event will be a couple inches. So any protectant that you have out there is just washed off. and then you need to go out and reapply, but you know that's just going to get washed off. And then obviously with restrictions on, you know, how many pounds, you know, per acre of active ingredient that you can use, that's honestly probably been the biggest challenge, is trying to get creative with your fungicide applications. Other than that, I've been very happy with the moisture after last year. I'll never complain about rain.
Well, and speaking of that, how have insects or weed control been then, since you have kind of been applying some things that are getting washed away, Are you having any concerns moving into that fall season, or what are you seeing?
The weeds, I think, are the biggest issue, and you'll see that when you go into the orchard where, you know, we put something down and it just gets washed. So even like a pre-emergent that we had down only lasted about a month, it seemed like, much less than what we were anticipating. So the weed growth has been like anything else. There's a lot.
And what other conversations have you been having regarding apple production? Are there maybe any supply chain issues, any transportation issues, or anything that you're seeing? Or are you guys doing pretty good for the year?
Overall, I'd say we're pretty good in terms of supply chain issues. Again, I think it's those fungicides that maybe have taken us, you know, aback a little bit, caught us a little bit off guard. Something that will be interesting is generally we look at days after full bloom for an indicator of fruit maturity. It's not like the end-all test that we use, but it is something where you look at your full bloom dates and then you can kind of roughly project out. With the warm early spring, we bloomed about 2 weeks earlier than what we normally do. It will be interesting. This is my first time encountering it. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how much of an effect on fruit maturity does that have moving forward.
So then what is your overall outlook for this season? What do you expect your total production or amount to kind of look like if you had to give an estimate?
I'm very optimistic about the crop this year. We have a huge crop out there, even though we thought we were being pretty aggressive with our thinning. We are clearly not aggressive enough, but we've got a good amount of fruit. I think the fruit are going to size nicely, 10 to 12,000 bushels. It could be more than last year, so I'm happy about that.
And so then when it comes to the apples themselves, you mentioned you've got 30 varieties. Which apples go for the cider versus your pies? Because you're not doing just apples. You're using them in so many different ways.
It's kind of interesting. Early in the season with our apple pie, we're going to mix whatever varieties we're picking. So early on in the season, it could be 3-4 different varieties that we all just mix together. As soon as Cortland comes online, we switch to pretty much straight Cortland, and we'll use that pretty much throughout the season. We might pivot to Eider Red at the end of the season. It's a good late season baking apple. In terms of cider, anything and everything goes into our cider because it's whatever we're running through the packing line that week. So our cider is continually changing. So early in the season, you're going to have those early varieties, you know, Paula Red, Zestar, Ginger Gold, Johnnymac. As you move through the season, you're going to be adding some of those later fall varieties. So I personally believe that the later ciders are better, that apples are just better cider apples. So it's continually changing. It's whatever we're running through the packing line that week.
That's Sky High Fruit Farm Manager Jacob Franzen along with us. All of Sky High's apples are marketed directly to consumers through their on-farm retail store, with upward of 5,000 customers going through the doors on the busiest days of the season. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Dan Sheps?
Harv Extra has been very consistent on our test results from first crop through fourth crop. The higher quality has allowed us to feed more alfalfa haylage in our diet, and cows are able to have a higher intake with a higher quality forage.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Riley Lepenka?
Making hay has changed so much now with Harv Extra alfalfa. You don't have to be tied down to a certain cutting window. That saves us a lot of headache, a lot of cost, wear and tear on machinery, you name it. I don't see any farm that it wouldn't work. Any kind of operation, if you have 10 cows, 10,000, it doesn't matter.
What does life on the cutting edge mean for alfalfa growers? Flexibility, yield, or quality? Harv Extra alfalfa with Roundup Ready technology gives you an extra edge every time you harvest. Hear grower stories at harvextra.com.
It's time for the grooviest event of the summer at the Wisconsin State Fair. Wisconsin State Fair, presented by U.S. Cellular, August 1st through the 11th. Yeah, I'm feeling good.
Mark, it seems to be reacting in a negative fashion to the announcement that President Biden is not going to be the Democratic nominee. Dow Jones Industrial Average, last time I looked, down nearly 400 points. Now, the commodities, as far as agriculture is concerned, trading a little bit higher in overnight trade. Right now, looking at the markets, we've got December corn up 6, currently at 411. November soybeans are up 19, 1055. September wheat up 8 right now, currently at 551. Dairy markets on Friday were pretty quiet. Barrel and block cheese were both unchanged. The AA butter did drop 3 cents down to 307.5 per pound. The Class 3 cheese milk isn't moving this morning. The August Class 3 milk that goes into cheese down 19 cents at 19.98 on the close. September was down 20 cents at 20.58 a hundredweight. Some details are being announced now for World Dairy Expo 2024. Their virtual farm tours schedule this year going to include a lot of Wisconsin dairy operations. I see that Shep Farms in Lodi, along with Vandosky Dairy Farms in Cleveland, and also the Wolf Farms in Brilliant are going to be acting as hosts for those virtual farm tours. Basically, the farmers come to Madison World Dairy Expo and give a video presentation of their farming operation and then answer questions from the audience. That started when we were concerned about the possibility of hoof and mouth disease entering the United States. And it's been a pretty big success and something that they've kept in place since. World Dairy Expo featuring 3 Wisconsin dairies during their virtual farm tours. Up next, I caught up with Wisconsin Senator Joan Ballweg, chair of the Senate Agriculture Committee from Marquesan. Despite a sluggish global economy, Wisconsin's Ag Export Council has found some success. She'll recap the latest report on the way.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
Few Wisconsin events bring 600,000 people together from 80 different countries, but it happens every summer in Oshkosh.
Oshkosh has become synonymous with the world of flight and with EAA.
Dick Napinski's worked with EAA Air Venture for more than 30 years and knows its history. Do you? Where did EAA start? Wausau, La Crosse, or Milwaukee? The answer coming up. The fly-in is spread across 1,600 acres with more than 10,000 airplanes. It brings a big boost to the economy, too.
It's $170 million of economic impact and more than $110 million of direct spending.
So where did EAA start? Milwaukee in 1953 called the Wisconsin Air Pageant with 21 planes. All moved to Oshkosh in 1970. A high-flying slice of Wisconsin. It's happening July 22nd to the 28th. I'm Terry Barr.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on News from the Center. 107.7 FM and 1450 AM WRCE and on the Civic Media app. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
This whole week I've been trying to think of some maneuver I could say that would go viral and totally sell my soul for extra cash. I'm not putting myself above that.
How about Schwabba Habba? Or Schwabby Dada? Or Schwabba Dabba Ding Dong? Instead of the more you know, it just says Schwabba Dabba Ding Dong with a rainbow and a star shooting star.
Conrad, I think we got our promo.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Jane Matinaire and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk to the Pewaukee Public Library about all the wonderful things going on there that you can take advantage of. Don't miss it.
Matinaire on Air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Agriculture, believe it or not. As we wrap it up on a Monday morning, we want to focus in on Wisconsin agriculture exports. They've gotten to be a critical piece of business for a lot of our Wisconsin agribusinesses, and in turn, the farmers they support. 2 years ago, Wisconsin Senator Joan Balwag, along with others at the state capitol, decided to focus some financial investment in expanding Wisconsin's agriculture exports, not by trying to create new campaigns, but instead trying to inform the agribusinesses in the state on what they need to do to make sure they're competitive in the world marketplace. Well, they've received their latest update from the Wisconsin Ag Export Council as far as productivity is concerned. I talked with Senator Balwag on Friday, who is also chair of the Senate Agriculture Committee, and she said mixed results, but one area in particular did pretty well, dairy.
Well, we are on a positive trend, and I'll talk just a little bit about some of the headwinds with the global economy, but we are on a positive trend. This is a project that we put in the budget 2 years ago, the budget before last. We also continued our support in this particular budget because, as you say, Pam, that it takes a while to gear up to do these kinds of things. And some of the investments that we're doing in this is so that companies can learn and figure out if their product is right for export. And then once they figure that out, how do you actually do it when it comes to labeling and making contacts? And our Department of Ag, along with Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, has been investing in trade missions, going to different countries to, you know, show off our Wisconsin products and inviting folks to come to Wisconsin to take a look at our farms, take a look at our products. The big winner in this, and this is what we wanted to do, one of the key winners has been dairy. So over the last 2 years, we've seen overall a 47% increase in our dairy exports since 2021, a huge increase in 22, not as big an increase, but still an increase in 2023. So that was good. Our meat exports and our crop exports all were up in 22, but down now in 23. But this follows the national trend. Overall, exports for U.S. products in general were down 9% between 22 and 23. But you know what? Wisconsin exports for crop and for meat were not down as much as the national average. So I think that goes to show that this program that we started is really moving forward. And a couple of things have really been headwinds when it comes to international market, and that is our strong U.S. dollar. I mean, we hear the same thing if you listen to the national crop reports. That is the same thing when it comes to exports for us. And a lot of our meat products are high-end meat products. And just like at the grocery store, because of inflation, some of those higher-end meat products and specialty meats are not going off the shelves as quickly as they did. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we did this year in helping our cheese producers was changing the weight permits for transporting their liquid whey from their cheese processing locations to their whey processing locations. So it's going to help them with a little bit lower costs.
Yeah, that's
one other thing I wanted to mention, because I'm where I am is big into the potato and vegetable area of Wisconsin. And something I didn't know until I read the report. We all remember a few years ago when the U.S. Canada Mexico trade agreement was changed. And I didn't realize this, but Mexico did not allow Wisconsin any U.S. potatoes to move into Mexico more than 16 miles from the border. That seems silly, but that's what it was. So because of the USMCA, the potato market is now open for all of Mexico. And we have seen some real good progress in in providing for potatoes to our neighbor from the south. Now, again, the pricing, the strength of the U.S. dollar makes some other countries a little more favorable when it comes to some of our produce, our potatoes, our vegetables from New Zealand and Australia and Venezuela and, you know, some of these other countries. But I think in a lot of these cases, there's always going to be a market for high quality products. And I think that's what we pride ourselves in, and specialty, just like the cheeses and the meats.
Yeah, Wisconsin Senator Joan Bollwig along with us. She's the chair of the Senate Agriculture Committee from Marquesan. She was also one of the leaders in forming the Wisconsin Agriculture Export Council. Like she said, dairy doing very well, finding international opportunity, some of our specialty crops as well. The rest of our commodities might need just a little bit more time. Well, we're almost out of time. Tomorrow morning, we'll be catching up with our friend John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Remember, for more information anytime or to re-listen to this conversation, pop on over to MidwestFarmReport.com. Have a great Monday.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke. News from the center, WRCE.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know,
along.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like
it's only glass. Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media radio network.
A new national strategy for reducing food loss and waste. That's next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
The federal government is implementing a new strategy to control the significant problem of food loss and waste in this country. Gene Busby is with the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Office of the Chief Economist.
What many people may not know is that one-third of all food produced for human consumption never gets eaten by people. In fact, food is the single most common material found in landfills, and 61% of methane generated by decomposing landfill food waste is not captured by landfill gas collection systems and is released into the atmosphere.
So, wasted food not only poses a loss to the economy and our quality of life, it's also a giant greenhouse gas emitter. We often think of food waste as a post-consumer issue, but, says Busby, a lot of food produced in this country never makes it to the consumer. She says the new strategy addresses that as well.
To optimize the harvest or collection of raw commodities and food, such as to get excess wholesome food to those in need, such as through the Emergency Food Assistance Program's Farm to Food Bank projects, to really educate and engage children and youth about food waste.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison and welcome hilarious comedian Pat McGann and singer-songwriter Marta Hansen joins the show and performs live in studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr. Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You may have heard the word derecho as a part of the weather lately, but what do you know about it? Derecho is a Spanish word meaning direct or straight ahead. It's why you may hear straight line winds blamed for damage from a derecho. A downburst, which is an area of strong, damaging winds, causes a derecho, and the Weather Service does not issue warnings for these. They're just standard severe thunderstorm warnings. So this means you'll want to be weather ready during any severe storm. If you're outside, camping, hiking, boating, find a shelter. Otherwise, lie flat, face down, on low ground. Most derechos happen in July, and Wisconsin typically has one or two per year. But experts say climate change will only help increase these numbers. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WR.
This morning, and with fog settled in, we're at our overnight low of 63 degrees.
WRCO weather is sponsored by